Hey, it's Benji Cole, son of Al Cole from CBS Radio and host of People of Distinction. The talk that gives an in-depth view of some of the most dynamic, intelligent, and successful people on the planet. Run to our website, peopleofdistinction.org, for more info, or you can always email me directly at benji@alcoleenterprises.com. And on the line with us today, we have Travis Edward Pike. We'll be discussing his fantastic book, Changeling's Return, A Novel Approach to the Music. Available for purchase through Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com. But guys, listen, if you want to gather everything that Travis has to offer, do yourself a favor and head directly to all of his personal sites. Okay, I'm going to list them for you now. The first one is travisinotherworld.net, followed by otherworldcottageindustries.com, and then travisedwardpike.com. All of those sites will have a ton of information on Travis, everything that he has going on, his music, the book. Listen, guys, do yourself a favor and head to every single one of them, okay? Because you will be doing yourself a disservice if you don't, because there will be so much that you'll miss out on. So one more time, that's travisinotherworld.net, otherworldcottageindustries.com, travisedwardpike.com. And I will say, Travis was brought to our network, People of Distinction, today by some of the best movers in the business, Far Eastern Media LTD. So if you have a book that you'd like moved, well, give yourself the best gift you can possibly give and contact Far Eastern. And you can find out more information on them at FareasternLTD.com. So without further ado, let's jump right in. Travis, first and foremost, welcome to People of Distinction, and thank you so much for being a guest. How are you?
Mr. Cole, I am so glad to be here.
There it is. I love it. I love the energy, Travis. This is fantastic. Listen, it's enticing, and I'm going to match it here, okay? The honor is all ours. We are truly, truly, truly looking forward to this discussion that we're going to have. And really, how many people we're going to be able to help embark upon this journey as well, because what you have set in motion is something truly special. Okay. Now, Travis, I know we have so much information to cover, but before we jump into the book, let's hold off slightly. Start by telling our listening audience a little bit more about yourself and your background, please.
Okay, well, in the mid-60s to the end of the 60s, I was a rock and roll singer, and I was in the U.S. Navy, and I starred in one film, and I did the title song for another one called Demo Derby that played all across the country with the Beatles' Hard Day's Night. I did not, however, sing that because I was in the Navy in Germany at the time, so it was actually performed by the Rondells, but hey, that same film opened in Boston with Robin Hood, which is to say Frank Sinatra. So I'm sorry, Robin and the Seven Hoods. And the other one that it opened with was Elvis Presley in Viva Las Vegas, which of course was about racing cars. So it started with you know, Frank Sinatra, and then Elvis Presley, and then the Beatles. How much bigger could I possibly have spoken into the movie business?
Listen, Travis, we're going to have to invite you back onto the network, okay? Not to discuss this book in further detail, not to discuss any other books that you write, just to discuss your background, man, because my goodness, it's so eclectic, it's so impressive, and I am sure you have stories for days, and we would love to hear them, okay? So we'll set that up. The purposes of today's interview, though, is all about Changeling's Return, A Novel Approach to the Music. Tell us a little bit more about your narrative.
I first wrote Changeling in 1975, and I was doing it as an album. And then in 1975, I found out my GI Bill had run out. So I took the last classes I could at Cal Poly Pomona, and one of them was an experimental class because I wasn't going to be there to get a degree. Experimental class on multidisciplinary studies and the environment. And that changed the thrust of Changeling, because when I was a kid, I mean really a kid, 11 years old on my way to school, I bought a book called The Sea Around Us by Rachel Carson. And that book so influenced me that by the time she came out with Silent Spring, which did, by the way, and lead to the end of DDT because it was all about killing off all the bees, mm-hmm. I just thought that the whole world was going to hell in a handbasket, and by the time I grew up, there wouldn't be a world. So I've been into the whole environmental thing for a long time. Now, I'm not a fanatic. I haven't done it every day. But when it came to Changeling / Morningstone, which I almost made as a feature film, musical, fantasy, and then now Changeling's Return, the underlying theme of all of this has always been the environment. And in particular, other things, very much of note, and then I promise I'll let you ask another question, but the deal is that when I was working on this property and it came out now, okay, remember, I started writing in 75. This book, this version of it, I finally finished and published in 2019, in November. Now, that meant it was fully read, fully bound, and fully ready to go. In November 2019, and the first we heard of COVID was in December in China in 2019. So this thing came out before that, but of the three things that the Furies were going to do to us if we didn't get our act together, one was, well, they could cook us all, but that would kill all the rest of everything that was part of nature, too. So that was out. The fates wouldn't let them do that. They could also quick freeze everybody, same thing, doesn't really work. So the third Fury said, lest every living creature share his doom, might we not work a pestilence for man, plague specific to his hateful race, that other creatures spared whose lives are lived obedient to law. First wrote that in 1975.
Love it. I love it, Travis. Listen, you're years ahead of your time, man. You're years ahead of your time. And that's what I love so much about the book is, again, this is something that has now become mainstream. But we know that this is an issue that we've been dealing with for years. And we will continue to. Exactly. You know, Travis.
Should have been.
Yeah, exactly. Travis, next question I'd love to get into. Let's go into inspiration. Now, you've already started to go into it with your background and some of the interests and with the, you know, the class that you were telling us about with regards to the environment. And that's really how that came into play. Now, with regards to writing, was this something that you were always doing? Were you inspired by certain artists growing up? Talk to us about that writing aspect and where the love for creative arts come from.
All right, that's a wonderful story. I was, in fact, when I was at the same 11-year-old, used to write poetry and short stories. And my father was a filmmaker. And one of the things he did was the people, there was a show called John Gunther's High Road. And John Gunther was a very famous journalist all through the war and everything. So his High Road was a sort of a travelogue because he knew everybody and he'd been everywhere. But he insisted on flying to Massachusetts to have my father shoot the opening and closing of his show because he loved the way my father made JFK look when he shot his stuff. So anyway, now that just gets him into the picture. I came home from school, and my duty was to go to my room, change my clothes, and go out to play, or stay in my room and shut up. Because the business, my father's business, Pike Productions, was in the house, which was this huge, huge house on Lake Avenue in Newton Center. And he had a glorious office that was really good for movies. So John Gunther was sitting out in the living room, and he saw on the coffee table some of my notes and things that I'd been writing, and he picked them up and read them while they were lighting the office and getting set up for that. And then he said to my father, he'd like to meet this kid. How old is this guy? And so when I came home, I was college, and it was like, you go out there, you say hello, you be polite, you shake his hand, and you go up to your room. So when I came out, Don Gunther said to me that he really liked my short stories and my poetry, and I should stay with it. Talk about an inspiration. Wow. I didn't know who he was yet, but it was John Gunther in person who told me to stay with it.
Travis, now this book, if I remember correctly, you said that Changeling's Return actually was meant to be a musical at first. Talk to us a little bit more about that approach and the music that accompanies it.
Excellent. Basically, what happened is I was starting to make an album, I thought. In those days, I was still doing rock and roll. I had just quit my own group. I moved into Hollywood, plenty of great musicians available for recording. But I couldn't start another group because they all had to make money on the, you know, next week because they were married or they had households or whatever. Whereas for me, I was the composer. I wrote all the music for Travis Pike's Tea Party. And anybody who signed up with me had to sit around and rehearse for a month or two before we could go make any money. Mm-hmm. So I decided instead I would produce the album. And I put together a wonderful crew that worked very hard, but they could do other things in between. They could travel, do whatever. When they got back to town, we record some more. And that was in 1975 and 76. Supposed to be an album, and it evolved because in 1975 I took that course at Cal Poly that was a multidisciplinary course about the environment and what we could do, all of us from our separate studies, to make the world a better place. And that's what changed the direction of the thing I was working on. So I decided, all right, I'll make it into a stage show. You had the Age of Aquarius and all that kind of thing. I can do that. And I did. And a film producer was introduced to the music, and he got in touch with me, and he said he wanted to option it. Okay. Are you optioning the stage play? He said, no, I want to make it into a movie. Oh, okay, I grew up in movies. I mean, I can do that. Sure, I'll get on that right away. So he did option it. We turned it into a screenplay, but as we did, the budget kept going up and up, and his monies kept going down and down. And at the end of the day, I went on to do other things with him, but not Changeling. And later, when I went on my own, I formed my own company, Otherworld Entertainment Corporation. I rewrote it as Morningstone, and I got all the way up to having all the money and a completion bond and all that kind of stuff. And I was in England. I did the scouting. I lined up the hotels. I lined up the transportation, and the money fell through because the banks in Japan had run into trouble. I didn't know the money was coming from Japan. That's just how the business works. You know? Mm-hmm. No one tells you that stuff. That's all under the non-disclosures agreements. So anyway, I didn't get to make it. And instead, I did something else that we'll talk about another day, but is also very important and very wonderful. But the reason it became a feature film, a musical fantasy idea, concept, is because of that school program that I was in for my last quarter at Cal Poly. That's the other inspiration for that.
There you have it. There you have it. Guys, again, here on the line with Travis Edward Pike. We're discussing his wonderful book, Changeling's Return, A Novel Approach to the Music. Available for purchase through Amazon as well as BarnesandNoble.com, but make sure you're checking into his three other sites to gather everything that Travis has in store. And that's Travis and Otherworld.net, OtherworldCottageIndustries.com, and TravisEdwardPike.com. Now, I'd love to know, curiosity for myself, what would you say was a highlight for you in writing this book? Or if not a highlight, you know, maybe something that surprised you in this journey that you weren't expecting before you began on it.
All right. The most significant highlight, so to speak, would be that I published it on in November 2019, after all those years of having had it as a screenplay and all this other stuff, I finally got around to doing it as a novel. And it came out in November of 2019. That means it was all written before November of 2019. Mm-hmm. In December of 2019, we first heard of COVID. And one of the first things that people said is, oh, my God, Travis, you predicted this. And I said, no, this is not the one that the Furies were planning. not that same one. I said, this is one that we can overcome. And in my story, Morgan, who's my principal key character, he's a rock and roll musician. They teach you to write from what you know. I figured that was a good way to go. And I was in the Navy, so those two things had worked for me. But the idea was that before anybody got into the pandemic, what the Furies, the Third Fury, was planning was a pandemic deliberately designed to kill off the human race because of our indecency and nastiness and evil toward nature, our misbehaving and using it but not replenishing it. So that's one of the highlights, is that horribly, right after I released the book, but after is the key word, out comes COVID that says all the things that were the biggest threat that nature had for us.
Absolutely.
In the book.
And Travis, who is your intended audience?
My intended audience was always, originally film goers, but music buffs, people who liked music and would appreciate both the feelings of the classical and the folk and the rock and roll that are in this thing, because the music is really special, really special. And the music was the beginning before there was a story. But remember, the music started it, and then it became one story, and then it became another one and another until it is what it is today. So for me, it's been a wonderful adventure. People are always asking, what was it like to write this thing? I said, well, having had 50 years to do it in and having done it so many times on my way to this one, to this final fruition, it was both a challenge because I carried it so long, it was hard to keep going back to it. And on the other hand, it was so important and so exciting once you got into it every time, you couldn't get away from it. One of the things that you could imagine would go with it is a book that influenced me, not in terms of what I was writing or why I was writing it this way. When I was a kid, about the same 11 or 12 years old, I read Stranger in a Strange Land by Robert Heinlein. And that blew me away. His story was about a Martian who comes to Earth and influences and learns from our culture and influences it in the future. In the meantime, I had studied, not in those mean times, but in this mean time, I'd read Joseph Campbell, I read Carl Jung, and you know, all those other things that one should do if you're going to really be serious about your career. Graves' The White Goddess came into part of the story. So it's not like I don't have the background, and what I do have for your listeners today, our listeners today, I'm happy to say, is that if they go to the Changelings Return links, especially on my personal website, thetravisedwardpike.com, you will find on the Morningstone Changelings Legacy pages, there are some 20-odd pages of all the mysteries that underlie this story, the magic, the mysteries, the myths, and, of course, the music. So there's some alliteration for you. But the point is, all of this comes together in this incredibly deeply woven tapestry because it had 50 years. 50 years to return to and to return to and to return to and to enhance and to improve each time until I got to where I am today, and I love it. This one, last thing to mention, is when you're dealing with fantasy, you have to obey rules, which you have to also establish. Well, in this kind of a thing, which deals largely with the principal character's otherworldly journey, whether it's an out-of-body experience or whether it really happened, I leave up to the reader. But the key to it is you have to ground it in something that's real and human. So here he is. He's just got out of the Navy. He's going to Boston University. Summer comes, his roommates move out, and he can't afford to stay there because he's going to school on the GI Bill. So he gets a job down on Cape Cod as a dishwasher. Well, hey, Cape Cod is the big party place, unless you're a dishwasher, in which case you smell like garbage. So by the time his days are over, nothing good's happening. But while he's there, the lead singer of the band that plays at this club is stabbed in the parking lot and seriously wounded.
Oh, wow.
And so the cook puts him up on stage, and he nails it, and he does it all weekend, and he's just as happy as he could be because he grew up singing rock and roll. He always loved it. And there he is. He's got his first big chance, and he goes in on payday Monday to collect his money, and the guy gives him the money for being the dishwasher. He says, hey, what about Friday night and Saturday night? You know, those were big nights, and I carried the show. He said, yeah, talk to the band who already left town. I don't pay you to be the band. Gets upset. And the mafioso who owns the restaurant gets upset, and he gets thrown out and run out of town. And as he's hitchhiking back up north, Al picks him up, asks him, you know, what does he do? And he's not going to say he's an unemployed dishwasher. So he says, I'm a rock singer between bands. And, of course, her boyfriend just happens to have a Berklee School of Music trained group that he's looking for a singer. And now, so you've set it in reality that we can all identify with. We even talk about the roads they traveled and where they practiced and how they got started. Then, bang, you're into the real otherworldly adventure, which sets up the whole rest of the story until he comes to when he's on his way to the hospital. And when he's in there, he has all of the music that he heard. He has all of the things he learned in that journey to the other world, or the dream, or while he was unconscious, or however you want to play it. And he feels compelled to bring that back. And that's the other half of the story, is that if it was a movie, we'd have seen it with him. We'd have experienced it. We'd have been really on his side. This way, if you have the music, if you have the album to listen to, you may still have the same reaction. But he comes back, he's got the music, he has to kind of redirect everything that he's been trying to do. All he's trying to do is be a big star and make a lot of money. Now he's got purpose. Purpose is to save humanity by reestablishing the relationship between man and nature. Anyway, it's a good story.
I love it. I love it. Listen, guys, you all know what you have to do. I'm going to say it once more, even though I know I don't have to. Here on the line with Travis Edward Pike. We just finished discussing his wonderful book, Changeling's Return, A Novel Approach to the Music. Available for purchase through Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com. But make sure you're doing yourself a favor and you're checking into his websites, travisandotherworld.net, otherworldcottageindustries.com, and travisedwardpike.com. Follow the links supplied there. Gather all of the information and everything that Travis has going on, and I promise you, you will never be disappointed. A wonderful journey for you to embark upon. A wonderful gift of knowledge for you to understand and take in, and an even better gift for you to get for someone else. So head on over there, pick up your copies today. Travis, this has been an absolute pleasure, such an honor. Thank you once again for being a guest with us today on People of Distinction.
Thank you, Ben. It's been a pleasure for me too. We've only touched the surface. So do have me back. We'll have more fun. I got other projects.